Lesson 74, as we study the book of Matthew in a dispensation view, we're in chapter 24 and starting with verse 29. And last lesson, we started looking at some things about the Great Tribulation and who's going to go into that times of Jacob trouble. But let's start with verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man of heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer's nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things fulfill. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, you got to understand, in Matthew 24, it's not the reference of the rapture of the church. You cannot find the catching away of the body of Christ here, but people will say in Matthew chapter 24, it's referring to the body of Christ being taken out of here. But Matthew 24 is a reference to the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back over here. That's what it's referring to. And when the dispensation of grace is over and the catching of the way of the body of Christ takes place, Christ descends from heaven. When that takes place, Christ descends from heaven on a cloud and catches the body out, doesn't he? I believe he does, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that. We compared that last week with Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, that happens, this event right here happens, the catching away of the body of Christ happens before this happens. And this is what I'm referring to is the tribulation period. Now the second advent that we've been reading in Matthew chapter 24 takes place at the end of the tribulation period. And that's what Matthew chapter 24 verse 29 just said. Go back there. And it's at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of Jacob's trouble. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is not in that verse we're getting ready to read. So don't mix it. And don't let people mix that together. They do. Matthew chapter 24 verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now this passage is dealing, of course, with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should know that. Immediately after what?
Tribulation.
The tribulation. And what have we been talking about? What type of tribulation? The Great Tribulation. The days of Jacob trouble. After those days is events that is going to take place at the close of the 70th week of Daniel. So when we close up the timeline, what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in the book of Matthew is referring to this point right here when he comes back. The body of Christ is not in there. The body of Christ is still hid in God and not exposed or giving to out before Apostle Paul is saved. And he's describing that 70th week of Daniel. And the time that Christ comes back in his advent is usher in is in verse 29 when he says that. The sun and the moon be darkened and the stars are falling. Notice it's after the tribulation period. It's not before. It's not going on now. I know there's one TV preacher on there right now. He's got four big moons, don't he? You ever see that? The blood moons and all that stuff. And he's making you into this period right now, and he's trying to usher you into that. And it don't happen that way if you believe your Bible. after what after the tribulation of those days, after what?
Tribulation.
Let me hear that.
Tribulation.
It's tribulation. The tribulation of the great, it's a great tribulation after that second half. And we looked at that last week. And verse 30. And then shall appear. By the way, verse 29, remember we looked at several lessons ago and we showed in Revelation chapter 6 about the six seals? We went over, that is the sixth seal in Revelation that takes place in verse 29. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is the second coming of Christ to the earth. All people and all nations shall see him and they shall mourn. Now you're not there. You're not mourning. You're not night either, joking. But you're not going to mourn. You're in heaven right now. And once again, that is not the catching away of the body of Christ. Don't confuse the two, and people do, don't they? They want to make that out to be. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we've looked at this before. If you want to write this down, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now they're going to see him coming with the clouds. Not in the clouds, with the clouds. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they had pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in him, be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn." That's all prophesied, that he's coming back over there. The coming that strikes terror into the heart. Do you realize when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back over here, it's going to strike terror in the hearts and the eyes of the people on this earth? You think about that. Now you as a believer are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking, is it going to be terrible and getting your heart? And you know, like you can't stand it. I don't want to see it. It's bitter. No, our hope is to see the Lord, isn't it? He's coming for the body of Christ. They who pierced him and will see him will wail. They'll hate that coming back. Who pierced him? Okay, the nation of Israel for real, right? You know, they pierced him. And the Israel and the nations will see him come. And as it says, verse 30, and then all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're not going to want to see him. What did we say last week? We'll probably say it again here in a little while. Well, I won't say it until we get there. But look, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You know what that sign is not? When they see the Son, what is it?
Star David.
Star David. Well, we're going to look at that a little bit. It's not the cross. You know who Constantine is or was?
Yep.
You know, he's like the 56th emperor of Rome. You know, and he was supposed to have seen a sign in heaven. And when he saw that sign in heaven, he said it was a cross, and he heard a voice to say, "In this sign, conquer." That's what he said he saw. So being a good Roman, like he was, he set out to conquer the world and rule the world and be the political boss over everybody in the Christian world. He made a system of Christian faith to be official state religion in Rome. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Okay. The Roman church is started there through Constantine. Guess what? They had power. And today that church still has power in the world system. And we talk about that all the time in World War II and stuff. Instead of helping somebody, they help the other person.
Yep.
You know, and oppress people. And that's why the Roman church is at Rome. And we talked about this before. There's no evidence that Peter was ever there. Now, I don't know if you want to believe that or not, look it up, but Paul was in Rome when he wrote the Roman letter. Peter wasn't. And today, historically, it goes back to the empire of Constantine. So keep that in mind. That's not the sign. So there's a sign of a cross in the sky. It's not the sign of the man. Now, we know as believers, there's a lot of signs out there, aren't they? Road signs. Get off this exit. Speed limit sign. There's a lot of people that use Christian signs in their religion. Well, we always talk about the Star of David. You know, you see it on a flag and all that stuff. That is not really the sign that Israel should be using for their nation. The burning bush is the sign, a bush that does not consume by fire. That should be the sign from God to them. In Acts chapter 7, if you want to turn there, if you want to look at it with me, Acts chapter 7, verse 43. Acts chapter 7. Verse 43. I think that's right. Yeah. But look, you know, verse 38 says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." Remember how we keep talking about churches? There's three churches in your Bible. A church in the wilderness, the kingdom church, and the church, the body of Christ. So you got to figure out which one are you in. I can tell you what God is doing today, if you want to believe it. You're in a part of the church, the pillar and ground of truth, and that's the body of Christ. Verse 43 says, "Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I carried you away beyond Babylon." So what star did they make that of?
Moloch.
Okay, that's that star. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, believe the Bible. Don't believe me. But it says that, and that star of David was introduced into Israel's religious life as part of that Baal worship.
Right.
You know, it goes all the way back over here. You know, that's kind of scary, isn't it? And it's still going on. And you know, and the icon and the worship of the adversary, the devil, who came and sought to pollute them in their religious system. Time and time again, we talk about when Lord God pulled his firstborn child out of Egypt, and he pulled them out, millions of them went. Not only did the nation Israel was let loose, anybody that wanted to go went. And they was part, here you had the nation Israel and you had the tribes of the earth right here, and they was going hand in hand throughout the desert. And that people over here did not benefit or did not contribute to the good things of the Israelites. In fact, they polluted them. So why? They kept in the religious system. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, they did not recognize him, or did he recognize them? There was an apostasy, and that is going on today throughout the body of Christ. People thinking it's okay to be, you know, oh, they got grace in their name, they got Bible in their name, they got a cross, and thinking that they preach the same thing you and I preach here today, and they don't. I know it sounds like I'm a little upset, but I'm not. But it's true, isn't it? Well, every one of us has been a part of a religious system, haven't we? You know, and now you got the truth, and now, you know, do you want to go back to the beggarly parts of the law? You know, and all that stuff? No. The Star of Moloch, the Rephim, is a part of Baal worship, and it's been passed down from centuries and centuries.
Why do they say it's a Star of David?
Well, that's what they get it from. Well, so, but God never gave them the Star of David, but that's what that is right there. But keep on looking. It's strange signs of the Son of Man to be one thing, and turns out what the Bible is something else, isn't it? Right. When man says it's this, God says it this. I always joke around, you got God's word, you got your word, and you got Ed word. You know, and Ed word is going to overcome your word, but God's word is what? It settles everything. You know, you go to the word of God, and you settle on the word of God. You don't believe no man, you know? All that stuff. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. So don't get caught up in all those signs and stuff. You believe the word of God. He sent a sign. He sent his son for the body of Christ. And the sign is the cross. That's what we look for, isn't it? That's what we believe. He died for us, for the body of Christ. There's two positions here. Mark 14, verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. There's two things there, aren't there? Mm-hmm. You see him sitting on the right hand of the Father and the coming in the clouds. Sitting and coming. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12.
Verse 12?
Yep. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Didn't you kind of read something like that over a few minutes ago? Mm-hmm. Matthew, doesn't Peter say something like this, talking about Joel? This is that. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as the fig tree cast her with untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Then that happens, that's right in the middle week of tribulation here. And when you see the sixth seal open, the heaven departs as a scroll, and the people of the earth can look up and see what's in heaven. Right now, you can't see that because there's a glass across there. Could you imagine just looking up and seeing the throne of God? Wouldn't that be awesome? You think about it, it would be awesome. But it's not going to be awesome for these guys. When he rolls up at the heavens like that, and all of a sudden they can see the Son of God sitting there on the right hand of the throne, and they say, hide yourself. Hide them. They're going to run, aren't they? Because they know what's next. Wrath. But you got to remember what we talked about last week is the fact that Satan is who he is in the midweek. He looks up there and says, don't believe. Here's the devil. Remember we talked about that last week? There's the devil. Don't believe him. Get together. We're going to have to fight for him. But they see him, and they see them coming back with fire and vengeance. And that right there, what we just talked about, it begins the Lord's reigning and taking back the universe. You know, that's the theme of the whole Bible. It's power over the whole universe. The throne. Who's going to sit on the throne? Now, Satan says he is, isn't he? God says I am. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the word of God. Okay? And starts in heaven by casting Satan to earth and invasion from heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, you right there and still in Revelation? Chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found a place any more in where?
Heaven.
heaven. Now, who's the prince and power of the air?
Satan.
Satan is. Now, this is going to take place, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When God cleanses that, and Michael and his angels up are fighting against the adversary, they cleanse him and they cast him to the earth. You got that? They're coming to, this is their final resting place or battleground, if you will. He's still the God of the world. You got to remember that. Verse 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God the day and night. He's cast down. He's no longer up there. In other words, Satan is cast out of his position in the heavenly places down to earth when the war is over, and he is cast out from up there. Now, you know when that happens right here, right? That's what you're reading. But don't we believe in the catching away? You know, does the Lord Jesus Christ come back in the clouds? There's still adversaries up there. That's why we talked a little bit last week about having an armor patrol?
Platoon.
Not a platoon, when you're guarding somebody.
Sentries and...
You know, like you're the armored car driver and you got policemen all around you.
Sentries.
Well, that's positions, but you got a guarded convoy, you know, to take to... Because there's still darkness up there. You got to think about that for a minute.
In original heaven, there's darkness. In original heaven, you're talking
about. Right, in the first and second heaven.
In
the third heaven, God's glory's up there. It's shining. But right now, when you look outside, you see that blue sky, that's your first heaven.
Okay.
Then you see where the star's at, that's your second heaven. Then where God is, you can't see that. So there's positions up there, because that's why Satan is called the prince and power of the air. And he's called the God of this world. And we keep going back referring to when the Lord took Jesus Christ up on that pinnacle and said, you bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Okay? That's the world systems out there that God, that Satan is in control. And it's not the green grass. He's going to be king of the systems out there. That's why God so loved the world. He loved what he created, not what Satan's created. So he's standing out there and he's out there. He's showing them where... The Lord Jesus Christ not one time said, you're right. You know, you got me. No. If God, Lord Jesus Christ, had did that, we know he did. Satan still is the prince of power of the air. He controls first and second heaven. And he still would be over God. See, that's the object of it. Him having power over. He would have gave up the earth because he didn't know what God was doing through the body of Christ. I know I'm going fast, but man, it you know, think about that. Make your head swim. Okay? Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw... Revelation 19, you're still... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was in 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Think about what we're sharing here. It's going to be something over the whole universe. It's not just here in little old Stark County. You know? It's over the... There's a battle going on now. We know that, don't we? Spiritual lives being lost, spiritual lives being saved, that type of thing. It's a battle. Always a constant battle. But that war is right here in this mind. And that's your spirit. And if Satan can cast doubt in that mind and control you with you know, different versions of the Bible you read, it don't matter. Or just control you, put doubt in your mind. He's got you. You know? Who are you to say... You're just a truck driver. Who are you to tell anybody about Jesus Christ? You know, that type of thing. I would believe an insurance salesman couldn't do it, but I'm just joking. But look, Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sitteth on him was called faithful and true and righteousness. He doth judge and make war. Is that different between grace and peace? He's coming to judge and make war. His eyes was as flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And that's something else, isn't it? No man knew but who? Himself. You wouldn't know who Jesus Christ was? Not according to this. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. There's armies up there. You know who Michael was? You know who Gabriel was? Michael was a general, wasn't he? Yeah. I mean, he's head of armies up there. You and I are not up there yet. Okay. You know, we've talked about this before, about the saints and stuff, you know, that raised a little question stuff. But Psalm 68, verse 17 says, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in a holy place." Thousands of angels. Not the body of Christ. Angels. And then he says Matthew 26:53, we'll get there eventually. "Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" There's armies up there. Armies. Jude 1:14 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh of Adam, prophesies of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." You know, there's saints over here, there's saints right here, and there's saints right there. So when you think about that, a lot of terms are what? Interdispensational. Okay? Verse 15. And out of his mouth, verse 15 is in Revelation 19, 15. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress with fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That is Jesus Christ when he comes back and he sets things right. Many of us have been taught and stuff, he came to set things right then, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But many memorize, we went through these lessons, the fact that he said, hey, first the sufferings, then the glory. He had a job to do on that cross, didn't he? Something that no man could do, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. And he did it for all of us. And he comes back with flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God or obey not the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be people over there. Imagine this. I don't think you can. Imagine there's people over here in ages to come that don't want to obey the word of God. You don't have that today. You know what I mean? In any dispensation, you got people just don't want to obey the word of God and ignore the word of God. And in any dispensation you had, people did obey the word of God and did what God says. And they're justified. And you're talking about a blood-curdling passage that we just read, wasn't it? Go to Isaiah 63. He said, "His vesture is dipped in blood, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierce and the wrath of Almighty." When he comes back, guys and gals, it's not going to be pretty. He's coming back to take over. Why? Because Satan's the god of this world, and Satan's, from the beginning he was... 63, Isaiah 63. Now, some of these words I'm not going to be able to pronounce correctly, so y'all just give me grace. Isaiah 63, verse 1. "Who is this that cometh from Eden with dye garments from Bozrah?" That's south of the Dead Sea, okay? That is glorious and is a pearl, travailing in his greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to say. Verse 2, there's a question. Wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Didn't you just read over in, that he's going to be treading like a wine press? Mm-hmm. Verse 3, there's an answer. I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Go to Psalms 50. You see what he's saying, Isaiah? Isaiah's prophesying this over here. Psalms 50. You see what he said? He's coming. How did you get your garment stained? That's a question there. What did he say? I'm going to trample people. That's not going to be good, is it? Where's the love and mercy there? There ain't none, are they? Excuse me. There is not none there. Psalms chapter 50, verse 1. This is doctrinally and prophetically is Psalms. And this Psalms that we're getting ready to read is the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ over here. Psalms chapter 50, verse 1. Psalms 50, verse 1. Psalms 50, verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. You see that big Z, don't you? Zion. Where's that perfect beauty at? And God will shine. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very, was it temperous, round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, and he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me. You know where that is? That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, that he says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect. And he says, and those that made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heaven shall declare his righteousness, for God is judged himself. You know, I'm gonna finish this out a little bit. The Bible talks about a city in heaven, which is called Zion. That's Hebrews 12 and Psalms 2, verse 6. Zion. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen saw Christ standing on the right hand of God, didn't he? Where was he at? In the city, wasn't he? He's standing up there. So after the interruption of the prophetic program, the city went back to the heavens. And far above, not only in heaven, but far above heavens, which he is today. And the catching away of the church, he comes down and takes us up into the third heaven. And then in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel over there, he comes back to the... Over here into the universe, right here. He comes back into the universe and established himself in the heaven. And from that point on, wars raged and the heavens are purged. Now, this is a battle, people. We think what's going on the earth battles is bad enough, isn't it? In places, you know, there's, whether you want to believe it or not, there's spiritual warfare in going on, but they're using different names here on this earth. And Satan is cast down and Christ's kingdom begin to reign in the heavenly places. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. He is not talking about the appearing of the middle of the week over here that we already saw. But he's talking about the sign of the Son of Man. Isaiah calls it an ensign, if I pronounce that right, E-N-S-I-G-N. It's going to reappear And when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, they're going to literally see him come out of that city down to earth. And when he comes, he'll be ready for the battle of Armageddon, what everybody talks about. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.